Good afternoon, everyone. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm not going to read the title because I only have 15 minutes, and I know it's rather long. I realize that after. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. And so, do you mind? Sorry, I rely on my notes, and I have notes here, so good. So first I'm gonna provide some context around disease burden and health disparities in LA County. So the next few set of slides, I'll just go through, give you some context and background for our study. So as you can see, LA County is pretty diverse, about 4,000 square miles, 88 cities, and one large unincorporated area. We're pretty diverse in terms of our race ethnic breakdown. We're pretty obese, and there's various health behaviors that we've done internal assessments that may contribute to this. And this slide illustrates how the rising obesity prevalence parallels the diabetes prevalence, hence the term diabesity. Anybody's heard that? And similar obesity trends are observed among the 3- and 4-year-old population. And suffice to say, there are significant health disparities in Los Angeles County. For example, on the left of this slide are the highest socioeconomic status communities, and on the right, the lowest. As you can see, the burden of childhood obesity is significantly higher on the right side, where the economic hardship is much higher. And there are also differences in terms of chronic conditions such as hypertension by race. And these are some of the factors that we know impact obesity through eating behaviors. The ones that we're interested in are often talked about, but fewer studies from a public health perspective have been done. For example, neighborhood community factors that affect access to good food, issues of safety, neighborhood cohesion, and the fact that all of these can lead to increased psychological distress or poor mental health outcomes, which in turn may affect healthy eating behaviors and unhealthy behaviors as well as are less well understood. And it's often understated that public health practice are the social, environmental, and psychological aspects of eating. We often leave these to doctors, psychologists, but typically not public health. In other words, we lack information about the context. And this slide is actually, this is a well-known model. It's actually, this particular one was taken from the Centers for Disease Control, and it's been adapted by the Bronfenbrenner model. So let's look at the common socio-ecological model. As you can see in the individual level, often in public health, health education at the individual level, we think that we can change health behaviors. In contrast, on the other end of the spectrum, the structures, policies, and systems, we then often jump to the other spectrum. Most often, this is known as the policy system and environmental change area. And in recent years, there's been a lot of federal investments on addressing these policy systems and environments, such as the CDC's Communities putting Prevention to Work grant, the Community Transformation grant. There's been a lot of efforts. But we often forget the in-between level. Although the literature base is there in public health practice, we often ignore that the community, institutional and organizational and interpersonal levels are affected by factors such as social cohesion, psychological impact in communities, and these factors like violence, and as I mentioned, the psychological factors may also impact eating behaviors. So these are very important to look at from a public health standpoint. So to look at some of the factors in LA County, we conducted the present study. It was an online panel to look at public opinions around neighborhood cohesion, psychological distress, eating behaviors, etc. Basically, some of the factors in the middle of the socio-ecological model that are often not talked about in public health practice. In essence, the present study intends to examine some of the factors that may directly or indirectly affect health behavior, such as healthy eating. And the study we conducted was a 2014 Los Angeles County Injury and Violence Prevention Internet Panel Survey. It was a cross-sectional, self-administered online internet panel. It was commissioned by us, the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, to a California-based firm specializing in internet panels. It was Los Angeles County residents who were recruited from a proprietary sample of internet panel takers between October through November 2014 using systematic recruitment and selection processes. And to select participants, quota criteria were applied. Recruitment emails were sent to individuals on the panel that matched target demographic criteria. They were sent email reminders only if they matched the quota criteria. And the vendor internally tested the questionnaire via an online platform prior to fielding the survey. After pilot subscribers, only those that reported being an LA County resident, being over the age of 18, and responded to basic demographic questions were eligible to continue taking the survey. And the 123 item questionnaire was administered via the vendor's web-based survey platform and was developed by us, the Department of Public Health. With the exception of one question asking respondents to qualitatively describe their neighborhood, all questions were closed-ended, with survey respondents asked to choose their answers from a short list of possible answer alternatives or by providing numeric responses. Some of the survey measures included the following, but in the present slides, I'm only going to point the ones that are relevant to our present study. We looked at food purchasing behaviors, transportation behaviors, as well as park access. The measures highlighted in red are some of the key measures that address some of the middle layer of the socio-ecological model. And we use validated or adapted questions from various established surveys. However, due to lack of previous studies on the topic, questions such as park access, perceived park safety as they relate to the Los Angeles County were developed specifically for the survey. And these are some of the measures that we address in the middle of the socio-ecological layers. For example, the mental health inventory, the MHI-5, has been used to measure psychological distress. Therefore, we used it in the present study. And we conducted a few different types of analyses, but for the purpose of this presentation, I will only present the most interesting findings. So here are the study results. So in total, we had about 1,000 respondents with a participation rate of about 33%. And the next set of slides, I'll go through some of the demographic characteristics that reflected similar profiles to the 2010 U.S. Census for LA County. So gender was evenly distributed. More than half were between the ages of 25 and 44, and almost half were Hispanic. About a third reported some college. More than half reported being unemployed full-time. The majority of respondents reported having an income of about 25 to less than 50,000. About half of the respondents reported eating 5 or more fruits and vegetables per day, and about 58% consuming 1 to 6 sodas per week. A large portion of respondents reported eating at restaurants, both from fast food and sit-down restaurants, 1 to 6 times per week. A small percentage reported living close to a grocery store, so less than 1 mile. However, the majority of respondents had reported relying on a car to get to the nearest grocery store. And here's a snapshot of some of the neighborhood social cohesion questions that we asked. For example, only about half reported living in a close-knit or unified neighborhood, yet about 3/4 reported living in neighborhoods where neighbors were willing to help each other. In terms of agreement with the statement, this is a close-knit neighborhood, it appears that there is somewhat an equal distribution across race. Yet there were slight differences across race in terms of agreement with the statement that, quote, people around here are willing to help their neighbors. In terms of neighborhood violence, here is a snapshot of some of the results. About 27% of respondents reported in the last 6 months witnessing a violent argument between neighbors often or sometimes, and about 23% witnessing a robbery or mugging. And looking at the distribution by race, we can see that a higher percentage of Hispanics and Blacks respondents reported witnessing often or sometimes a robbery, mugging, than whites. It's not surprising, and it aligns with what we already know about LA County crime and socio-demographic characteristics. Similarly, here you can see that Hispanics and African Americans had a higher percentage of reporting witnessing harassment, abuse, or unjustified use of force by police officers in the last 6 months than whites. This is also not surprising. And these last two measures that I just described are components of the aggregated neighborhood violence measure that we included in our regression models. And in terms of psychological distress, using the MHI-5, we found that there was high distress in the LA County population. Maybe it's the traffic. I know I get stressed out. About 40% fell into the high distress category. And in the present study, we looked at two relationships. So one, the first was the relationship between social cohesion and psychological distress. The second was between unhealthy eating behaviors and psychological distress. The goal here was not to demonstrate causality, but to provide the resolute context for local program planning. We wanted to look at these two interesting relationships in the arena of neighborhood cohesion, psychological distress, and unhealthy eating. Specifically, we want to explore what factors are correlated with psychological distress, which in turn may affect poor eating behaviors. And in our models, we explore these different relationships. And so here we looked at the first relationship with psychological distress as a dependent variable of interest. In the first model, we looked at the dependent variable, psychological distress, and how neighborhood social cohesion related to it. And overall, the model was statistically significant. And here we only present the significant results. The adjusted adjusted R-square indicates that approximately 23% of variability of psychological distress is accounted for by the variables, even after taking into account the number of independent variables included in the model. There were several statistically significant findings in this analysis. These findings suggest that there is an inverse relationship between neighborhood social cohesion and psychological distress, as well as an inverse relationship between workplace satisfaction and also age. Neighborhood violence is positively associated with psychological distress, as well as being female and being unemployed. These findings make sense and align with the evidence base. We also looked at how psychological distress may be related to healthy eating behaviors. We did similar things looking at soda fast food consumption after being able to look at the importance of social cohesion. And I have 2 minutes, so I'm going to jump through. For the second model, where the outcome is soda, we found that neighborhood violence was positively associated with soda consumption. In contrast, age, being white, Asian, as opposed to Hispanic, was inversely associated. Finally, for the final model, fast food consumption, we found that psychological distress, workplace satisfaction, and neighborhood violence were positively associated with fast food consumption. Age and being Asian as opposed to Hispanic was inversely associated with it. However, the major limitation of this model is that the adjusted R-squared was low for each. For both of these last two models, it only appears that about 6% of variability was explained of unhealthy behaviors. And so, as you know, internet panel surveys are a convenient sample. There's quite a few limitations. Albeit the demographics were representative because we applied a quota, it was a convenient sample, and therefore there are limitations because this was not a randomly selected sample of LA County residents. And so implications for practice, these results suggest that we need to consider the in-between social factors in that the inner circle of the socio-ecological model, such as social cohesion, psychological factors when planning programs and efforts to scale and spread public health interventions. So the bottom line is that this adds additional context to the evidence base, but it certainly doesn't add what we already haven't hypothesized or known before about within the context of social eating. Therefore, this information is not new, but it provides a richer context for local planning in the LA County area. And I'd like to thank my authors. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't, wasn't changing it. So these were the, I'll go back real quick. So, yeah. I'll start with. So, what did I leave off on this one? Okay, so this is the slide where we found about 23% of the variability was explained. These were the other control variables that we added in the model. This was the model where soda was the outcome variable. And here is where we looked at fast food consumption. And these were the limitations. It was a convenience sample. There were self-reported measures, social desirability bias, not a true random sample. And these are the implications for public health practice. And I'd like to thank my co-authors. Apologies.